This morning we want to devote our time to study a false doctrine that is popular recently, and it's getting more popular as time goes by. It's a false doctrine called, it's okay to look as long as you don't touch. It's okay for anyone to look, to lust at a woman, as long as he doesn't physically touch her. Did you ever hear this doctrine? I heard it many times. Perhaps you say, well, Ray, that's not a doctrine. That's just a saying. And it's true, it's a common saying. But what is it saying? What is it teaching? All doctrines teach truth. And this doctrine teaches truth from the eyes of Satan. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and, what's it say next? Doctrines of devils. Exactly. We are in the latter times. This is one of Satan's doctrines. It's okay to look as long as you don't touch. It's kind of like when you go to the zoo. You know, you go to the lion cage, or you go to the bear cage. You're allowed to look at the animals, observe them, gaze at them, all you want. Just don't touch the animals. And that is what is being taught regarding us as men towards women. It's okay to look as long as you don't touch. This doctrine has a couple of strengths. First of all, it's appealing. Man in his humanness, in his base humanness, desires to look upon woman. We were created sexual beings. And the voice says, it's okay, do it, just look, enjoy, just do some window shopping, but just don't spend any money. Shop, look, lust, but don't touch. The second and main strength of this false doctrine is the embedded sense of morality. This doctrine, false doctrine, actually has a moral tone to it. Hey, as long as you just look but don't touch, no one gets hurt. The voice of this doctrine says, you could be evil and touch a woman. You could be evil and molest and fondle a woman. You could be evil and rape a woman. Nope, we're going to take the high road. We are going to just look. No one gets hurt. No one is touched. And yet you can enjoy God's creation. Everybody wins. I agree with the devil in the sense that we are taking a road if we follow this voice. Except it's not the high road. It's the road to hell. But it sounds good. You got to give the Satan credit for his cunningness. It has a moral zing to it, and millions have adhered to this doctrinal teaching. It seems the matter of sexuality has always been a target of the evil one. In Corinth, Satan had given them a false doctrine to help justify their sin. We read that. And this was their saying, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for the food. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now here's their saying, the Corinth saying. Meat for the belly, and the belly for meat. That was their saying. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord's, and the Lord for the body. You see, the Greek philosophers, they believed that the body was evil and therefore it had no value. So it really didn't matter to God what you did with your body. Food for the stomach for the food, or meat for the belly for the meat, as the KJV says. It's believed to have meant, it doesn't matter what we do with our bodies. And our sexuality is no different than eating. Just do it. Spiritually, there is no harm. It's just a biological thing. Enjoy. Does that sound familiar? Corinth had its false doctrines. We have ours. It's okay to look as long as you don't touch is our false doctrine. And the best verse to counter this false doctrine is Matthew 5, verse 27 to 30. Jesus said in verse 27, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Yes, they had heard that. Exodus 20:14 commanded that. Over and over again, they had heard that. In fact, in Luke 18, verse 11, the Pharisees thanked God that he wasn't an adulterer like the publican. The problem was, they only took this command externally, and they didn't take it internally. Externally, they would not physically go into another woman's house and intentionally commit adultery. Yet, in their heart, they were adulterers. That is what Jesus addressed here. "Ye have heard, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Whoever looks to lust, Jesus said, if it's your intent, if that's your purpose, you're not looking at a woman to her face to talk to her. You're not looking at a woman to communicate with her. You look at her body to fulfill your desires, to give you pleasure. You are an adulterer. And you might say, how can this be? I mean, just looking, there's no physical intimacy. Just looking, there is no touching. How can that be adultery? Let me put it as simple as possible. Scripture says that my body is a temple of God. God dwells within me and in you. The Holy Spirit has reservations inside your heart. And listen to that description as what we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 to 20. "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." Then it says, which are God's? You see, your body, it's his. It's the Holy Spirit's temple. On the day of conversion, you welcomed him into your body, to the deepest part of your soul. And the Holy Spirit loves it there. He enjoys rooming inside your body, which is God's temple. Well, when we lust over a woman, what we are doing is bringing that woman inside our heart. Your lusting posts her nakedness inside your heart. And you see, now there's a problem. Actually, it's a twofold problem. First of all, the Holy Spirit doesn't like her. You see, only the woman that you have entered into a covenant through marriage is allowed into your heart. So you force this other woman unlawfully into your temple without her permission, without that special okay called a marriage ceremony. She's inside your heart unlawfully because you chose to look. That is heart adultery. Without touching her, you have become one with her through looking at her. And she now resides inside you. The second problem is that, you see, the Spirit has a problem with this little arrangement you have. That other woman that you brought into your heart is making you unholy. The Spirit is holy. Her nakedness in your heart is defiling your home, his home. If I would tell Revivals is coming on, Brother Melvin is coming. If I would tell Brother Melvin, hey, when he comes for Revivals, Melvin, I invite you to come into my home. Come into my house. You can stay as long as you need. In my house, I will please you, Melvin. In my house, you can relax. You can study. Melvin, you can do whatever you need to do. And Melvin comes on Sunday. And on Wednesday, I bring a huge pig into the room that I set aside for him. Melvin, there's one little change here. This pig is going to reside with you in your room, in my house. How would Melvin feel? I want you to think of that. How would Brother Melvin feel? Would he be hurt? Would he be angry? You invited the Holy Spirit into your heart. You promised the Holy Spirit. You said it's all yours. Now you have brought that other woman into your heart. And you have stunk up the place. You have defiled your whole temple. Jesus said, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. We mentioned the strength of this false doctrine. It's okay to look as you don't hurt. It's okay to look as long as you don't touch. And we mentioned its false morality that you can enjoy and that no one's going to get hurt. Well, I want to state that through heart lust, people do get hurt and that there are many casualties. First of all, the heart adulterer gets hurt. The one who lusts and brings that woman into his heart gets hurt in many ways. He defiles himself. He sins. He puts a wall up between himself and the Holy Spirit. He also becomes a liar towards the one he promised faithfulness. He suffers guilt from acquiring something that wasn't his. He becomes dissatisfied with his wife, and his intimacy suffers. He gets a longing for more and more. He soon doesn't know what is natural and what isn't. You see, when you bring food into your stomach, it gets full and satisfied. But lust, bringing another woman into your heart, the more you fill yourself with her, the more hungry you get. And you are never satisfied. As it says in Ephesians 4:18 and 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, a sexual sin, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The long look, the desire he first felt free to do, it now compels him. He needs a fix. He needs more, and he becomes like an animal. In Jeremiah 5, verse 7 to 9, it says, they that then commit adultery and assemble themselves by troops in the harlot's house. Then it says, listen, they were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. The one who only looks but doesn't touch brings himself down to the level of an animal, of a horse, uncontrolled, undignified, dishonorable, like a deer in rut, chasing after any kind of doe that comes around. Did Samson get hurt by just looking? Remember, she looked good to him. Did Solomon get hurt by just looking? Yes, they did. You see, what we bring into our heart mentally many times comes out in physical action eventually. All adultery and fornication and uncleanness, it starts with the person just looking, but it ends in physical intimacy. Just ask King David. He only glanced and looked at Bathsheba bathing on that rooftop. What happened? He ended up getting her pregnant, killing her husband. He lied. He had a huge cover-up. He almost lost his kingdom. Don't tell me that you can look and no one will get hurt. The mental adulterer gets hurt. The second reason it's not okay to look but not touch is that the wife and the children also get hurt. You might say, well, how does my looking at a beautiful woman affect my wife? Well, when you looked and lusted and you brought that woman into your heart, now there's not enough room there for your wife. She has to share your heart with her. Yet at marriage, you promised her your whole heart. You promised to be faithful to her till death do us part. Just imagine, you know, you and your wife standing at that marriage altar. Just remember years ago as you stood there and you looked in each other's eyes. What is it if she looked into your eyes? She could have saw into the future, and she could have saw all the other women that you would bring into your heart. Would have she been hurt? Would have she been discouraged? You see, every time you just looked, you stabbed your wife in your heart, her heart. She can't share your heart. She's hurt at your promiscuity, your unfaithfulness, your broken mental vows. She hurts. Your wife is also hurt in the sense that every time you enter intimacy with your wife, you bring that other woman along with you. That's right. She's there. She's there with you and your wife in the midst of your intimacy. Though you are physically touching your wife, mentally, you are intimate with that woman who's inside your heart. Also, your ideals of beauty is influenced by this other woman. And you have other unrealistic views. Who says it's okay to look as long as you don't touch? Young man, young brother, your future wife wants to be in your heart alone. She doesn't want any other woman there. Don't fill your heart with unnatural views of sexuality. Don't allow the world's idea of beauty and intimacy to shape your mind and take her along with you on the honeymoon. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but to holiness. Women are not an object to please us. Women are not made for our pleasure. Lust reduces women to just an object. It distorts true womanhood. The third person to get hurt by just looking and not touching is the one you lusted over. What you took into your heart isn't yours to take. You had no right. You stole from her. Listen to Proverbs 5, verse 15 to 21. Drink water out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. Here it compares your wife to a cistern, to a well water. You own a cistern. You cherish a cistern. You own this well. Then why are you drinking from your neighbor's well? Why are you drinking, lapping at a strange woman's fountain? You hurt her, the one you're lusting over. You violate her husband because you are taking of his property, out of his well. So it's okay to look as long as you don't touch? Never. Fourthly, the biggest hurt by just looking is what God suffers. After David sinned with Bathsheba, remember we talked about him just looking at her, her nakedness, and all that followed. He said in Psalms 51 verse 4, in a prayer to God, he said to God, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Yes, David's sin was against others, but its main hurt was against God. Bringing that other woman into our heart violates God's rules for our life. He designed us to have only one woman through a marriage covenant and then bring her into our heart. He is offended at our not trusting him and thinking in our humanness, we know it doesn't hurt just one time to bring another woman into our heart. God forbid that our bodies that are to be holy would be joined in heart by another woman. How can we defile God in this manner? It's his body. He is hurt. Our unfaithfulness to our wives, our unfaithfulness to our future wives, is really being unfaithful to God who has called us to be holy. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, his blood bought your body. The price he paid to reside in your heart was his blood. It gives him lifetime reservations inside your heart. And he is jealous when the pig, the stench of lust, that strange woman fills your heart because he wants it all. God is hurt when we bring that woman into our hearts. We saw the false doctrine. It's okay to look as long as you don't touch. We saw Jesus refutes it in Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28. That the Bible says it's wrong. That lusting brings that woman into our heart and we become mental adulterers. And that the Holy Spirit and that woman can't get along. And that you become defiled and unholy. And we saw that everyone gets hurt by just looking. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27, ye have heard, but I say. Ye have heard, but I say unto you. What have we heard that is in opposition to Jesus? We have heard we can look as long as we don't touch. But you know, there are other things we have heard. Ye have heard you can look without lusting. That a man can look at a woman's body. This is what the voice says. He can observe and enjoy it and still not lust. We have heard this, and it too is a lie from Satan. What this does, this view, I call it the light switch theory. It treats lust like a light switch. A man's passions can be switched on when he's with his wife. They can be switched off when he sees another woman who's not dressed properly. Lust on, lust off. Lust on, lust off. And those who espouse this doctrine say that we can be spiritually strong. We can look at a woman's body and we can enjoy it from the aspect, this is God's creation. Let's give glory to the Creator for the way she was made. I actually heard that on a Christian radio program one day. Enjoy her looks. We can look at TV shows. We can look at videos. We can see scantily clad women. But if we are strong, we can look but not lust. You know, this view ignores both spirit physical laws as well as spiritual laws. First of all, the physical laws. We're just wired so that certain appearances, it ignites desire in their heart. We were created that way. It's a physical function. It cannot be turned off. To say a man can look but not lust is like saying you can be hungry without desiring food or thirsty without desiring drink. It also ignores spiritual laws. Do you know with our sexuality, we were never told to resist sexual temptation. We are never told that we are to be strong as we face sexual temptation. Rather, we are always told to what? To flee. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. Why flee? Why not be spiritually strong? Why not look but resist lusting? It's really because it's impossible. Flee. Put space between yourself and that woman. Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. Was he wrong? Ye have heard it said, you can look without lusting. But Scripture says to us, flee from modesty. How about this one? You have heard it said, it's legalistic not to watch TV and videos, and all that matters is that you have a good relationship with God. All that matters is that we feel inside His presence. As long as we don't commit physical adultery, that's all that matters. And it's old-fashioned, it's square, it's legalistic not to watch those TV shows and the videos. That's what we have heard. But I say unto you, Scripture says, whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Brothers and sisters, if it's legalistic to forbid watching immodestly dressed women, then Jesus was legalistic. He's the one that said that lusting is committing adultery. Church leadership, we did not create this precept. Your parents did not create this precept. Our culture did not create this precept. This is God's word. It is the word of the one who created this universe, and He designed your body, and He knows what makes you tick. To say we can have a heart relationship with Jesus while all the time committing heart adultery is simply wrong. We cannot choose to continually sin and at the same time have a relationship with Jesus Christ. 4 points of application. Sisters, it's okay to be jealous. It's okay to be jealous. There is such a thing as godly jealousy. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3, Paul says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul saw that the church at Corinth had been espoused to Jesus Christ. They had been in love with Him. But now the church had left their first love and they had moved on to another gospel. And Paul was jealous. Sisters, the application here is you have a right to have a godly jealousy. If you see your husband taking other women into his heart, lusting, desiring that is that which is not his. If you see him taking water from the cistern, the well that isn't his, get angry. You have a right to be jealous. I want to ask you, sisters, how can you sit on the couch beside your husband as you both watch the TV or the videos and you see scantily clad women on the TV, on the video? How can you be so peaceful as he's taking that other woman from that TV and he's bringing her into his heart? You know the harm he's doing to you. You know the harm he's doing to himself. You know that by Jesus' words that you can't look as long as you don't touch. Be jealous. Be angry. You are to be the only person in his heart. Secondly, in application. Brothers, you know that covenant with our wife, maybe it isn't enough. We need to make another covenant. We need to make a covenant like Job did, a covenant with our eyes. In Job 31, verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job made a covenant with his eyes. He vowed to his eyes that he would not use them for any restricted purposes. He vowed that he would not use his eyes to look upon a woman to lust. And it was a lifetime covenant with his eyes. There was no loopholes. There was no exception clauses. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Are you tired of your mental adultery? You and your eyes need to come to an agreement. Do it. Do it soon. That other woman is right around the corner. Make it fast. Hell is too real. Eternity is too long. Get out the paper and ink. Make a covenant with your eyes. Thirdly, in application, I need to ask this to you sisters. Is how you dress, is that an external issue or is it a heart issue? And I ask that in light of what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. In light of that, is how you dress, is that an external issue or is it an internal issue? What does your dress affect in a man? His heart. It brings sin into his heart as he takes you in. And I understand there's so many sisters, they don't realize how they dress, how that affects men. Because they're made different. They don't realize this. And I realize they do it as out of ignorance. But sisters, how you dress is a heart issue. Possibly some of you are thinking that a woman should be able to dress like they want and that man should be spiritually strong enough not to look in lust. Let me ask you this. Suppose you were out in the hot sun. You were terribly tired and thirsty. Your tongue was parched and your lips were chapped. And I came to you where you were. And I displayed in front of you some cans of soda and some cold bottled water. And I poured some of that water into a glass. And I put some ice into the glass and you could hear that ice crackling and you could see the ice in the glass. And then you reach out to get it. And I say, you should be strong enough not to desire this water. What would you think of me? I mean, what I said, well, goes against all the laws of thirst and desire. You view me probably as unkind and hurtful and uncaring. How could I display in broad daylight my stuff and then expect you not to desire it? Sisters, when you display your body, whether through tight clothing, short clothing, revealing clothing, it's a direct attack on a man's heart, whether you realize it or not. Dress is a heart issue. It's not an external issue. It is not a church rule. It is not an external church rule that we made up to persecute the youth. It's not a parental issue where your parents are seeing how mean they can be to you. It's a heart issue. There's really no other way to look at it. Unless we want to disagree with Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 27. Lastly, in application, brothers, do whatever it takes. After Jesus said that about lusting, he said, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Jesus is saying, if you want to stop lusting, and you're afraid of going to hell, and it will put you in hell if you continue lusting, if you have to pluck your eye out so you can't see, do it. Do whatever it takes. And there are at least four scriptures I saw that directly link immorality, such as lusting, with leading to an eternity in hell. Jesus is saying it's better to go through this life without eyes than having your whole body cast into hell later. If picking your eye out prevents lust, which prevents hell, do it. I want to ask us, have we done all we can? One way Scripture gives us to do all we can is simply the thing called accountability. If you have problems with lust, have you told another brother about it? That brother will pray for you. He will pray for you every day. He will give counsel and advice. You know, accountability is one of the strongest tools that Christians have to fight sin, and sadly, we don't use it very much. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Accountability. Also, talking about doing whatever it takes to avoid hell. You know, many times, sexual desires are more prevalent when we are lacking relationships elsewhere. Is it possible you have this strong lust because you are out of fellowship with God? Fill yourself with Him. Is it possible you're out of fellowship with your wife? You don't have that heart relationship with your wife. Fill yourself with her. You see, uncontrolled lust is sometimes symptomatic of deeper needs. Fill those needs. Do whatever it takes. In closing, I want to say this. So we can look as long as we don't touch. Never. God forbid. Ye have heard it said. Ye have heard the world say you can look without touching. Ye have heard other Christians say the spiritually strong can look without lusting. You have heard other Christians say it's legalistic for us to have rules about watching videos and TV. Ye have heard all this. But I say unto you, Jesus says that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Don't hurt yourself, your girlfriend, your future wife, your wife now. Avoid an eternity in hell. Do whatever it takes. May the Holy Spirit's power be active in your life as you seek to restore him to his proper place in his temple, which is your body. May God bless you.